about to kick off the second hour of the show. A lot to dive into here. James Fishback just joined us, and it was an incredible interview because this guy is one of the very few who will actually call out what's going on right now. Now, obviously, we all voted for President Trump. I don't know if you did at home, of course, but I know I did. I know James did. But calling out the nonsense that's happening right now in the White House is something that we all should be doing, right? We shouldn't be just sitting here and saying, oh, everything's great. Everything's great. No, we should be critical when we have to. And so I was very excited to have him on to do just that. But we're kicking off the second hour of the show by diving into some more stories. Joseph McBride's going to be joining me as well, just so you guys know. He's a trial attorney. He'll be joining us at about 10:30 Eastern time. I've got a lot of questions to ask him in regards to the Supreme Court, as well as the Florida AG's office, who is now investigating JP Morgan Chase. So there's a lot to dive into there, but a lot of headlines that we didn't get into, and then we will in just a few moments. I want to talk about how President Trump yesterday did take a little swipe over at MTG. As many of you guys know, Congressman Marjorie Taylor Greene is a patriot. Now, you may disagree with her on some things, but I don't question her alliance. Her alliance is with the America First movement, with America, MAGA. She is very clear that's where she is. So she's been critical of President Trump, and I think she's been pretty fair. Sadly, the president doesn't agree with that, and he did take a swipe at her. We'll play that clip for you, because I know that the mainstream media was doing its very best to make it seem like there was some beef here between the two of them. Now, again, MTG has been doing a lot of corporate media these days. But, I mean, folks, I don't hate her for what she's done. I don't hate her. I think that what she's doing is great. Get out there. Spread your message out there. And, yeah, you're not going to go out there swinging like a far right winger, of course. You're going to go out there and maybe just let them listen to you, and then you slowly pull them our way. I mean, I'm okay with it. We'll talk about that in a little bit. We'll also talk about the Lawfare tour, the accountability tour specifically, because there's been an update in regards to two prosecutors who apparently have abruptly resigned. That's according to MSNBC. Now, again, I don't like to use MSNBC as a source, but, you know, when you're upset, you're enraged, and you're a left-wing hack working for the federal government, they're usually the first one you turn to whenever you want to blow the whistle on something. And so we'll listen to that report as well. Plus, we will bring you the very latest on the congressional investigation into the J6 pipe bomber. There's a new letter that was just sent out in regards to Kamala Harris. I'll bring you the details on that. That comes from Chairman Barry Loudermilk as well. Plus, there was a story that dropped yesterday that I'll detail for you as well. Christina Bob, who I highly respect, and she's an incredible attorney and a very lovely woman to be around. She's the former attorney for the president. She's currently being persecuted in Arizona. Luckily, though, it looks like those charges might fall off very soon. We played the clip for you yesterday, but she's coming forward and she's saying, hey, guys, just so you know, what you saw in Arizona, according to her, happened for a very expensive reason. She's accusing the AG over in Arizona of possibly taking over $200,000. So that will be an interesting one. I'll read you through the document, of course, that she released through Judicial Watch yesterday. And again, those are claims that she is making. So we'll tell you what those are. Plus, fights broke out yesterday at the Turning Point event. We can actually take a look at this footage. Yesterday, there were several arrests made at the Turning Point event. And I don't know why we still allow this to happen, because if you guys recall, President Trump held a roundtable. Obviously, this is happening at Berkeley yesterday. Now, the event still went on. Apparently, four U.S. Berkeley students were arrested on felony vandalism charges. There was also a bloody brawl. One guy did get a bloody nose. Violence broke out hours before the Turning Point event launched. Now, again, I don't understand why we even allow it when it gets to this point. According to several reports and those within Turning Point, there were members of Antifa outside agitating the crowd. This footage coming to us from Savannah Hernandez. Now, President Trump did declare Antifa as a domestic terrorist organization, so I don't know why this is happening. More to discuss in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere.
I also notice your cup is stained blue on the inside.
I've been caught.
You got a little, did you find some methylene blue floating around here?
I did, man. I commandeered some from Harrison's office.
Yeah, it's JonesStore.com. Check out the supplements we have, 25% off apparel. Methylene blue, you can get for 50% off if you get a subscription and you never run out. So,
amen.
I know Stuart's going to be looking for a bottle. I'm going to go try to track one down for him while.
If you don't mind, a bottle that fills too.
You like both. What do you like better?
You know what? I like them both.
Okay.
When I'm traveling, the pills definitely.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Yeah, it's not going to, you're not worried about it breaking open or.
Way over here, I took a couple.
Yeah.
You know, while I'm driving.
Yeah. So with driving, did you feel more alert while you were driving or?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I took a couple shots while I'm in here in lieu of coffee. You guys ran out of coffee, so I only got some methylene blue.
That's all he needs is a little methylene blue.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back. The American Journal, we're excited that you're all jumping on with us today. A lot happening all around the country. We're calling it out today. In just a few moments, though, we will talk with Joseph McBride, who is an incredible trial attorney. He's going to be joining us at 10:30 a.m. Eastern time because I got a couple of legal questions I want to throw his way, of course. For those of you at home, though, are veterans. We wanted to thank you for your service and say happy Veterans Day, of course. We truly do appreciate all that our vets have done for us, and I don't think we give them enough respect, and we're very honored, very, very honored, of course, to have you in this country and all the sacrifices you've made. This morning I did. I'll call him later, of course. But I did shoot over a text message to my father. I wake up really early, so it had to be a text message. But he is up. He is up. Growing up, my dad served, he did serve in Vietnam. And my dad had me always waking up, crack of dawn. If I didn't do so, my veteran father would throw ice cold water on me if I wasn't up by 6 a.m. And that's what it's like to grow up with a father who is a vet. He was incredible, obviously, growing up, but it just shows how online, I mean, everyone jokes and says, Brianna, how are you up at like 4 a.m. every day? It's because of my dad. Because of my dad. If he wasn't the one throwing ice cold water on me at 6 a.m. every day, even on the weekends, if we didn't wake up, then I wouldn't be able to do a morning show. So thanks, Dad. Thanks, Dad. And we appreciate, of course, my father's service to this great nation. He's an incredible patriot, loves this country, and often tunes into this show. Often does. In fact, my dad, and I'll just give us a moment to reflect on how much of an incredible father he is. My dad actually, he just celebrated his 80th birthday, and he celebrated, of course, we threw him a surprise party, but whenever he watches this show, he gives me feedback and he gives me his political take by shooting me an email. And so often you'll see me looking at my computer and you're probably like, what is she reading? And it's because I'm reading my father's feedback as he watches this show. So I hope he's watching right now. And I just wanted to wish him a happy Veterans Day, of course. And I hope mom takes you somewhere really, really good to enjoy today. And hopefully she pays the tab. All right, folks, let's turn to what we're going to talk about. I want to turn to clip 5 because President Trump is kind of taking a swipe at Marjorie Taylor Greene, the great congresswoman from Georgia. Now, I love and appreciate all that she's done, and I truly do believe she is a patriot. And although, you know, we might have political disagreements every now and then, I think that she is aligned in all the right reasons and all the right ways. And I think what she's doing right now is she's taking a tour of media outlets that normally wouldn't cover her because they've demonized her. They've made it seem like there's no common ground. And I like the fact that she's going on shows like The View. And you're not going to go in swinging and being, you know, a hard right winger, but she is going out there and she is trying to hold these discussions. Well, President Trump yesterday made these comments about MTG. Take a listen.
I passed a great big beautiful bill, which is the biggest tax cuts in the history of our country. So when somebody like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's now catering to the other side, I don't know what, you know, I guess she's, you know, got some kind of an act going, but I'm surprised at her. But when somebody like Marjorie goes over and starts making statements like that, it shows she doesn't know.
I think MTG is doing an incredible job of going out there and trying her very best to hold President Trump to the MAGA line. Seems like he's drifting away these days. There have been some really questionable things coming out of the White House over these last few hours, if you want to go there. So MTG doing her very best. She came on this show. She was the first one to advocate for ending the filibuster. which got a lot of headlines. I know the Daily Beast tried to pin it and make it seem like she was going after President Trump. She did that interview, obviously, on this show. She did not speak ill of the president. She was not trying to swing at the president. She was inserting an idea, which later garnered the support of the president of the United States. And so we're very grateful for that. But Marjorie Taylor Greene, again, she's going out there. She's trying to reach a new audience. And I don't blame her for any of this. I actually think it's a good idea. I think it's a good idea. It's how we pull people onto our side who may not normally agree with us. I want to turn to something else too. MSNBC yesterday ran a story in regards to, and I normally wouldn't want to quote them, but I'll tell you this. If you are a left-leaning hack working in the government, you are going to turn to like a CNN, MSNBC, tell these outlets what's going on behind the scenes. And that's exactly what's playing out, it appears. In clip six, you're going to hear what MSNBC is reporting in regards to two prosecutors abruptly resigning over in the Southern District of Florida. That's where there's an ongoing criminal investigation into the Trump-Russia 2016 hoax. Take a listen.
We must start with the basis here, that there is this vast conspiracy that Trump administration officials have alleged that former intelligence and law enforcement officials during the Obama and Biden administrations undertook to undermine the candidacies and presidencies of Donald Trump. That is the baseline for this here. And late on Friday, we reported that at least 30 subpoenas were sent out by the Southern District of Florida U.S. attorney to people like John Brennan and former FBI officials Peter Strzok and Lisa Page. And now, along with our White House colleague Laura Barrón López and myself, we are reporting here that there are two junior U.S. attorneys who have since resigned from the Southern District of Florida after being asked to be a part of this investigation. I am told that one of the individuals who resigned, quote, felt like there was something they could not take part in because it would violate their ethical responsibilities. It is worth noting here that these were two junior U.S. assistant attorneys. I am told by somebody familiar that it would not be ordinary to have these junior U.S. attorneys, assistant U.S. attorneys, be called up for such major investigations like this. We have also learned that the individual that signed off on these subpoenas was the number three at the Southern District of Florida U.S. Attorney's office. Now, this is abnormal. This is the executive assistant U.S. attorney, because usually somebody in leadership doesn't sign off on indictments or subpoenas. Think back to when it was odd that Lindsey Halligan signed off on the indictments in the Northern District of Virginia, for instance, because she couldn't find any career prosecutors in the office to move forward with the indictments themselves. And that is what we are seeing down there in the Southern District of Florida, that the number three in the office is the one who signed off on at least some of these subpoenas. Now, that is what led this afternoon, we are told, to the U.S. attorney of the Southern District of Florida, the Trump-appointed Jason Reddy Quinones, to call a unit-wide meeting of 2 to 3 dozen prosecutors in the major crimes division here this afternoon to address the concerns stemming from not only the investigation, but also the resignation of those two attorneys who were asked to be a part of the investigation. We still don't know the full scope of this investigation, but of course, President Trump has explicitly called for the jailing of Barack Obama, to Clapper, to a series, a litany of other individuals. And we know that there is an investigation that is ongoing. Subpoenas have been sent out, and at least two U.S. assistant U.S. attorneys have so far resigned down in that district where this investigation is being conducted.
Now, we'll ask McBride about all of this probably later on in the show, of course. But again, I'm just so fed up with this. If you don't want to do your job, which is to go after corruption, then get out. You see, we didn't hear these stories in regards to DOJ, FBI employees leaving because they were asked to go after President Trump. Now, they had no problem with that. Why? Because they were politically aligned with the regime. Now, all of a sudden, they're pretending like there's some moral issues here because we're asking for accountability. Well, if you don't want to do your job, get out. Stop sitting here and trying to go. Or maybe, here's another idea. Maybe they're actually afraid, because they know if Democrats ever get back in power, those who are part of the persecution, or I should say, digging into the persecution of President Donald Trump, going after those who he wants to hold accountable, maybe they fear that they're going to be next. I truly don't think that these people are balancing whether or not they are morally allowed to do what they're doing, or if there's any ethical issues here in regards to any of that, because they all sat pretty and they allowed it to go down when it was the Biden regime calling the shots. But now that President Trump is saying, or the DOJ, I should say, because he claims that he has no interference in it with any of this. But now that it's the DOJ out here saying we want accountability, do your job, they all of a sudden need to resign. It's questionable. It's garbage. There's no reason for us to sit here and pretend like these people weren't compliant when they were trying to take over our country and go after their political opposition. They had no problem doing that. They had no problem going after January 6ers who showed up to a legal rally, were accused of maybe trespassing. So again, these prosecutors, yep, they can leave. But we're not going to sit here and pretend like the president of the United States is doing a persecution. Barack Obama, James Clapper, those names you just heard. Well, there's a reason why President Trump wants them behind bars, and it's because they committed acts of treason. Now, they deserve a day in court, of course, so that the world could hear their defense. But folks, enough is enough. I don't care about a prosecutor or two prosecutors in the Southern District of Florida calling out and saying, oh, we can't do this. Get out. Leave. Go work at a liberal law firm. Good luck. We'll find someone else to replace you. We should also start making more investments in conservatives who want to go to law school so we don't have these issues. Those who truly believe in the Constitution, we should be investing in them. Start paying for them to go to school. Because folks, those on the left have no problem going out there and practicing law. We need an arsenal of conservative attorneys who believe in the Constitution and don't pull nonsense like that. All right, I want to bring you the latest on the J6 pipe bomber investigation, the one's going on right now within Congress. Yesterday, Chairman Barry Loudermilk sent a letter. He's requesting to interview members of Kamala Harris's Secret Service detail regarding the pipe bomb incident at the DNC. Now, many of you guys know, it was very questionable where Kamala Harris was that day. And there were a lot of people who were criminally charged because they cooked up the charges to say that Kamala Harris was somewhere where apparently she wasn't at all. So now Loudermilk wants to talk to Secret Service because he wants to hear from them. And this is a great move. This is a great move. As many of you guys now know, it appears that she was actually over at the DNC headquarters. And as you know, that's where they're claiming that there was a pipe bomb located. Now, in regards to that pipe bomb investigation, the feds still claim that they have not yet found a suspect. The Blaze is naming someone we won't totally name yet because we haven't seen enough evidence, I believe. Steve Baker does do incredible work, though. And so when we learn more on that front, we will bring it to you. But the FBI is still claiming to me, and I can't say this with a straight face, that they're looking for the individual who placed those pipe bombs outside the DNC and the RNC. They still don't have any suspects. Ain't that strange? Ain't that strange? All right, when we are joined by Joseph McBride, we're going to talk more about what's going on in Florida. I think it is quite fascinating, though, that in Florida right now, they have launched an investigation into J.P. Morgan Chase. I can't wait to hear from McBride, because McBride has a lot to sound off in regards to that, because, well, they are alleging that J.P. Morgan Chase apparently debanked the Trump Media Group right before they went public, which is obviously a massive, massive issue. I'm interested to hear the legal side of all of this. I know McBride will bring the fire, so we look forward to that. That will be in about 10 minutes. Let's keep diving into a couple of headlines. There's a lot that happened yesterday, of course. I want to talk to you all about Christina Bob, because she made some very, very important allegations. But before we do that, it's important to highlight clip 8, because Ed Martin yesterday was speaking out in regard to the pardoning those who have been targeted for the 2020 theft of our election, those who were just trying to stand up for our election, stand up for President Trump. Well, they have been targeted, and President Trump yesterday issued a federal pardon. So that was very important. But we want to talk about the fake electors that they accuse of being fake electors, I should say, in Arizona, because they are still having this ongoing legal battle. It might end soon. The AG over there isn't saying yes or no. Christina Bob will walk us through those allegations in a moment, but I want to play clip 8 for you. Take a listen to Ed Martin, how he details the pardoning yesterday.
When the president, when we talked about the pardon of these alternate electors, at the heart of it was a desire, it seemed, of the conduct of these electors. They were being shut down. They were being silenced. And why? And the question was, what happened in the 2020 election? And so when we went back and looked at it, our goal was to pardon these electors. And when you pardon the alternate electors, you got to make the case and look closely at it. And what we saw was people, again, ordinary Americans, Steve, regular people, and their lawyers and others saying, let's use the system the way we're supposed to. And what they were doing, they were targeted for that. So what we saw and what we're laying out is, what happened that they targeted? Why did they target it? What were the steps that were taken? And I think it all becomes a question to answer what happened with 2020. And again, General Bondi has put us on this task. She said to us, keep pushing, keep figuring it out. And so we're doing that.
So, in other words, keep pushing because we have to adjudicate with transparency in the public the stealing of the 2020 election.
Okay, so that's a good one. And we love it. And Ed Martin, by the way, patriot, loves this country. And I'm so excited that he's in the position he's in because I don't trust many, but I do sincerely trust him. So that was great to see. I want to keep diving into more headlines. Let's talk about Christina Bob, because yesterday she unleashed some very serious allegations. And again, we haven't seen any facts to prove it yet, but this was a filing that she did post yesterday. It's actually right now up at judicialwatch.org. Bob is saying that she's one of the people who were targeted in that so-called fake electors issue in Arizona. Now, she's accusing the AG of potentially getting paid. Her campaign received $200,000 post-election from an entity sharing the exact address, president, executive director, and leadership as a group run by two people who you've probably heard of before. Now, again, let me just say before I say the names, these are allegations that are being made by Christina Bob, and we have not vetted these allegations. Mark Elias and Norm Eisen are the two names that they are dropping in this. Now, again, these are allegations and has not, you know, released any evidence in regards to any of this. But she's suggesting that Chris Mays, who is the Arizona AG, who a lot of people accuse of not legitimately winning that race, was somehow, some way, potentially paid through $200,000 that her campaign received from an entity related to those two individuals. And I've not seen comments from either of these individuals yet on this claim. Of course, we will cover it when they do comment on this. These are serious allegations that are being made. But again, we have not seen the evidence. But I think it's important to flag this for you and put it on your radar. I want to keep scrolling through all of this. Okay, so let's also talk about what's going on right now in regards to Tina Peters. In clip 9, you're going to hear Ed Martin talk about Tina Peters and what's currently going on. As many of you guys know, she's charged and was convicted in the state of Colorado. She was trying to sound the alarm on election fraud that was going on that she believed was happening. And they went after her and they sentenced her to 9 years in prison. Well, the federal government is now stepping in. We reported this last week. And they have asked the state of Colorado to get ready to transfer over to federal custody. Take a listen to Ed Martin detail the latest.
We're fighting for Tina Peters. You say, well, just go get her. Well, we got to work with Colorado.
But you've put Colorado Bureau of Prisons on notice that you want to transfer to a federal prison.
Yeah, and we did it. But we did it, I got to say, again, Todd Blanche is the guy leading on this. We did it in a way that puts the right kind of pressure on them. You know how this works. Right. If you're Colorado, right. I was chief of staff to the governor of Missouri once. Right. If the feds say we want something, you change your tune in terms of. So we did that. We're doing that. So there's a million steps.
Yeah, so that's good news to hear. That's good news to hear. Now, again, it's going to be a really difficult task, I got to mention, because, again, she is charged on a state level. So a pardon, a presidential pardon, does not save her from that. So we'll see what this actually leads to. We hope it leads to something because Tina Peters is being persecuted. She is a political prisoner and she does not deserve what's happened to her thus far. And so we'll continue to keep our eye on that. I don't know if you guys saw this, and this was really important. Clip 10 we're going to play for you. There's apparently a terrorist who was killed in Gainesville, Florida. Now, they say that this individual comes from Turkey. I want you to listen to the story because this was a really interesting one, and I don't think it's getting really any type of attention, and it definitely deserves that. Take a listen.
You're also learning more details tonight about the deadly deputy-involved shooting of a man accused of making terroristic threats against a Jewish temple in Tallahassee.
The suspect was a resident of Turkey who was killed when he tried to pull a gun on law enforcement yesterday. TV20's Ryan Hayes spent the day talking with neighbors who are calling the shooting shocking. Ryan.
Yeah, Dave, every neighbor that I spoke with this evening says they would have never expected something like this to happen here on Northwest 35th Way. Alachua County Sheriff's officials officials were serving a felony warrant under the Baker Act yesterday afternoon when deputies shot 38-year-old Ali Bayan from Turkey. Deputies say when attempting to serve the warrant, Bayan emerged with a handgun in his waistband. They say when Bayan reached for the gun, he was shot. Six deputies and two U.S. Marshals shot at Bayan, and he was pronounced dead at the scene. Deputies say Bayan made terroristic threats against several elected officials, including a threat to blow up a Jewish temple in Tallahassee.
Now, again, we haven't seen those threats that they allege that he posted online, but isn't that interesting? He's from Turkey. Doesn't say whether or not he's a U.S. citizen, of course, whether he was here legally or illegally, but something worth bringing to your attention, of course. I'm going to shift gears a little bit. Probably not on your radar, and it's important that we put it back onto your radar. Remember that Cybertruck that exploded outside of that Vegas Trump hotel? This is back on, I believe, New Year's Day. Take a look at it. Obviously, you remember this. This video was insane. It was absolutely insane. Well, Sean Ryan did an incredible job at trying to just put out the information that he had received from Matthew Livesburg. Now, this was the individual who sadly took his own life, and as you see, the truck exploded. But there's a lot of people who have severe questions, and I do as well, in regards to what happened here. There's a lot of questionable circumstances, of course, and asking questions is very, very important. Well, I had one major question that I had no idea actually happened. The New York Post is alleging that his 70-page, apparently, or just the manifesto itself, has been classified through the Department of Defense. Now, again, we don't know what's in it. I should say the Department of War. We don't know what's in it. But man, oh man, this obviously throws out smoke signals for people like myself. Now, I've reached out, as many of you guys know, I'm going to be covering the Pentagon starting next month. So I've reached out to the Pentagon for comment on this, and they did tell me they just need a little bit more time, but they will be getting back to me. But I want to find out, why was that manifesto classified? The American people deserve to see it, and the only reason I could see why something like that would be classified, if there was truthful information in that manifesto. So I'll keep you updated on that story, and when I learn more, I will share it with you all, of course. So make sure you tune in, because I'm sure I'll hear from them sometime this week on that, and we'll keep you posted. But a lot of questions surrounding that cyber truck explosion, and I've got questions that need answers. Folks, if you haven't done so already, head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. We still have that BOGO sale going on right now. Buy one, get one free on methylene blue. As many of you guys know, it's not going to last forever. I actually don't know how much longer it's going to last. That's why it's important for you. Head on over to the site and grab yourself some of this right now. We also have a free hat out there as a thank you for those who have sacrificed, of course, so much for this country. You can head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and grab this hat. Whenever you purchase a supplement item, you're going to get one of these for free today. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. And it's also 25% off site-wide. Head on over to the Alex Jones Store today.
I'm cutting this emergency announcement on the evening of Thursday, November 6, 2025. Ladies and gentlemen, just type InfoWars or Alex Jones in the search engine. You'll read all about the federal courts, the state courts, the receiver that's been appointed to come in and shut us down. He was here today. He said it might be next week. It might be in early December. They haven't decided when to shut us down. But we've set up the Alex Jones Network at AJN Live on X, Bill Alex Jones, Rumble. We have the new studios, new news sites we're going to be announcing and launching. The InfoWar lives on through you and I and the crew and everybody else. But right now, we need funds to keep InfoWars on the air just for the foreseeable future and for the new network, because the bad guys can't get the AlexJonesStore.com because Bigley established for many, many, many years, dozens and dozens of major clients. They build the best quality shopping carts with the very best products, and they are our sponsor. So when you go to the alexjonesstore.com, there is a huge sale that is only running until Sunday at midnight. So you got like 3 days, 3.5 days. Any supplement you get, ultramethylene blue, we have the best. The Shilajit, we have the best. The turmeric, we have the best. We have the best spike protein, pro cardiovascular, ultimate life force. We have it all. The best Irish sea moss gummies and capsules. Incredible. Research it for yourself. We have the best at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you buy any of them, they're 50% off when you sign up for AutoShip. Cancel anytime. And you guarantee it never sells out. They hold it back. You get 50% off on future orders. You can buy it once, cancel if you want, but get it first because you have a month to cancel. I know you're going to love it, and then keep it on AutoShip. But bottom line, you get 50% off. Also, if you're a VIP, $30 a month, just like Amazon Prime, you get $40 to spend instantly in the store. Special deals, special sales, special offers just to you, and massive percentages off on everything. So if you're going to buy anything, become a VIP. But right now, at thealexjonesstore.com, on top of that, this is what ends Sunday, 25% off on top of all those sales. That makes many of these loss leaders. And then there's all the widest selection of Patriot apparel, t-shirts, ball caps, hoodies, you name it. Wearing Patriot gear out in the public is an incredible adventure. It's like being Donald Trump or Alex Jones or Steve Bannon. Go out and do it. Experience it for yourself and know your fungus operation. You have kept us on the air despite all the attacks and Arctic frost that's come out. We're all under attack because the bad guys hate us. But despite all those attacks, we're still here. And InfoWars lives on through the Alex Jones Network and through all of you. So take action right now. The sale goes until Sunday evening at midnight, Central Standard Time. Probably the biggest sale in the history of Bigley, thealexjonesstore.com. Have to check the other sales, other big ones, but 50% off on all the supplements and 25% off on top of it. Oh, and it gets more insane. Anybody that downloads for free the Android or the Apple app, you find both links to it at alexjonesapp.com. It's free. It's the same shopping cart on your phone or the app on your computer. You get an additional 20% off at checkout on top of that. Now, I had to convince Bigley to do this. They were a little skeptical. They like to give you good deals, but not this good, because it's loss leader when you use the app, when we have the sales card. But because we have an 80%+ reorder rate on things like ultramethylene blue, it's actually working because you get it, you love it, and you keep ordering. So these are great products. I want to induce you to try them. You know our information's hardcore. Try the products. It's just as hardcore. Right now, the sale ends Sunday, thealexjonesstore.com. Thanks for being the reason we'll always stay on the air. You are the InfoWar. I'm the InfoWar. We're a family, 1776 worldwide. We will crush the 1984 globalist system. God bless you all.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited to have you all on here today. A lot going on all around the country. We wanted to make sure that we kept your attention on all of these issues, so we're excited to do just that. I'll be joined in just a moment by Joseph McBride. He's an incredible trial attorney, and we have a lot that we want to break down with him, so we look forward to that. Also, Stuart Rhodes will be joining me in studio in the next hour, and we've got him for quite some time, so there's a lot that I want to ask him, of course, and so we'll do just that in the third hour of the program. But I don't know if you guys saw this yesterday. I think this was a really big deal. Yesterday, the Florida Attorney General, James Uthmeyer, announced that his office has officially launched an investigation, a probe into JP Morgan Chase. Now, he made the announcement in regards to the latest uncoverings from Arctic Frost and so much more. Take a listen to how he detailed the latest on his investigation.
Today, we've sent a letter and launched an investigation into JP Morgan Chase Bank after alarming revelations about their coordinated efforts with Jack Smith and the Department of Justice as part of the Biden administration's Operation Arctic Frost, where we now know Biden officials went after their political enemies. It's come to our attention that JP Morgan debanked Trump Media Group, a Florida-based company, right before the business went public. This is a crucial time for any company, a time where you cannot afford to lose your bank. In addition, we're aware that J.P. Morgan Bank solicited tons of information from Trump media unrelated to their business practices, and we believe provided sensitive banking information to the Department of Justice without real probable cause. This is wrong. We will not tolerate it, and we will hold them accountable. Here in Florida, we've passed legislation to protect our consumers from wrongful debanking, and we will stand by our consumers.
Florida is the future of this country, man. I say it all the time, but when you sit there and you watch this AG come out there and say that he's going to defend those in Florida who are going to be potentially taken advantage of by corporations and then have your information handed over to the federal government, that's exactly what you want from your state AG. Joining me to discuss right now is Joseph McBride. He's an incredible trial attorney, and he's my legal expert. And we've got a lot to discuss, so I'm excited to have him on today's show. All right, McBride. So listen, what's going on in Florida right now is pretty impressive to see the state AG stepping in, because he's alleging that Trump Media Group was debanked by JP Morgan Chase, and he wants answers in regards to that, because that was obviously right before they went public. So that's a very big deal. Your just kind of overall view and thoughts about the announcement that was made yesterday in Florida.
I think it's a great announcement. He's doing fantastic work here. JP Morgan is supposed to be a bank. Banks are supposed to be neutral. They're not supposed to be a field office for the Biden DOJ, but that is in fact what happened here. We all know that you can be debanked, you can be deplatformed, you can be sent to jail for having the wrong political opinions in this country. When a private institution like JP Morgan Chase looks at somebody's politics and then makes a political decision to work with the United States government to hurt a political actor absent probable cause, it's absolutely violative of a plethora of different rules. So what we have here is the U.S. Is the state attorney general in Florida, James Utermeyer, drawing a line in the sand and saying, hey, you crossed the line. You can't do this. There needs to be accountability. So what they're going to do now is they're going to look into JP Morgan Chase. They're going to go over transactions. They're going to go over emails. They're going to go over internal reporting to see if there was any bias there. And if, in fact, there was, which they're probably going to find, then they'll be able to bring a state action against JP Morgan Chase for what they did during that time.
Yeah, and I think it's really important that they do just that, because the debanking issue is a big one, especially when a company's about to go public and this is what you pull last minute on them. It's not acceptable. I want to talk a little bit about what the AG is accusing them also of doing there. You hear him say things like there were certain documents that were handed over that were then possibly turned over to Jack Smith's office. Now, we've seen this time and time again, and we also, I've actually alleged independently that there may have been to Alex Jones. He may have also been a victim of this. I know that they tried to subpoena through Arctic Frost his phone records when he was able to fight that off, the judge also ruling in Alex's favor for them not to hand over his records. It potentially looks like there might have been another individual through a civil lawsuit who may have handed over potentially those documents, those phone records, because we could only tell that it says Alex Jones' cell phone. And this was in regards to the name on there has a connection between a civil lawsuit against Alex. And that itself is very alarming. Is it illegal? Let me just ask you this. Is it illegal for, let's say, a civil lawsuit, or is it illegal for a bank to, without probable cause, to hand over documents related to whether it's a cell phone record, whether it's your financial statements, hand it over to a special prosecutor that doesn't have probable cause?
So it's a great question. It's really going to turn on what the government said to JP Morgan Chase. If the government intimated, or if the government sent the appropriate documentation saying that we're subpoenaing, we're looking for these records for our own reasons, the government doesn't necessarily need to give an explanation. Inherent in subpoena power is the idea that probable cause was there. But what do we know about the Biden administration? We know that they weaponized the justice system to deem that people were threats to the system, to the United States of America, for political reasons. So what they did was they attached probable cause to political danger in a way that's improper, to be very invasive into people's lives, to cancel people across the internet, to debank them, to deplatform them, so on and so forth. So, I mean, just as a matter of first impression, I doubt that the attorney general or Jack Smith called up JP Morgan Chase and said, hey, we don't have probable cause, but we want this documentation anyway. It's more likely that they told the JP Morgan and Chase that, hey, here's our subpoena. This is the information that we're looking for. JP Morgan Chase may or may not have known that it was bunk, that it was really not true. But either way, they complied with the government. So we got to look at two things here. Number one, was there actual probable cause, or was the Biden administration just hunting down its political enemies? I'm going to take a bet here and say the Biden administration was hunting down its political enemies. And number two, was JP Morgan Chase sort of in cahoots with the Biden administration and just giving them everything that they needed absent a warrant? Or did the Biden administration actually give JP Morgan Chase the paperwork saying that we are requesting this information? If they did, in fact, give them that paperwork, then JP Morgan Chase will have a defense.
Yeah, well, we'll have to sit back and watch. And I look forward to seeing that unravel, too, because it just seems like there was so much overreach in the Arctic Cross investigation. And that's obviously intentional. When it comes to debanking, though, Joseph, I don't know if you're familiar with the Florida laws that were recently passed, but what could possibly be the ramifications if the AG, the allegations that he's now circulating, if these are actually true and they were intentionally taken, the political retribution were taken out on them to debank them prior to going public?
So it really depends on what the specific Florida law states, what the facts are on point with regard to this question. But what I can say is this, is that the Florida Attorney General has a vested interest, he's duty bound. He swore an oath to uphold and protect the laws of the Constitution of the United States and for the people of Florida. Florida has a vested interest in making sure that its citizens and that its businesses are treated fairly. If, in fact, the Department of Justice worked with JP Morgan Chase to tank this company right before it was going to go public, then there will be a massive civil action on behalf of the state of Florida against JP Morgan Chase and against the Department of Justice for what they did. You can't do that. The AG in Florida is going to go to bat for his people. He's been doing that for quite a while now. He's doing a really good job. I'm very interested to see how far this goes.
Yeah. We're going to keep our eyes glued to that one, because that's going to be super revealing in regards to how far the lawfare went and then where do we go from here. And we want Florida to go out there and target these companies, because again, they continue to say that the White House is manipulating the DOJ, but they have zero control over the Florida state AG. And I think that will be telling what they uncover there, because it's almost going to be pretty hard for them to deny that the lawfare was being taken out on these companies too, that were also associated with Trump. So we'll look forward to that. I want to kind of shift gears a little bit to the Supreme Court, because a lot is on the SCOTUS plate these days. This one specifically is interesting on how they're weighing in on President Trump's tariff power. They're looking to see whether or not he has authority to implement a lot of these tariffs that have brought in billions and billions of dollars worth of revenue. And President Trump, you know, he was sounding off and saying that it would be really, it would be very, very expensive and it'd be very, very chaotic if they were to rule against him, because they've already implemented tariffs, and saying that potentially $3 trillion in revenue would be affected by all of this. So what's your take on what we've heard thus far? Because there were some key players over in the Supreme Court who were listening in on the opening arguments in regards to the tariff issue. And I didn't know which way they were going to go.
So it really comes down to a separation of powers question. And traditionally, Congress actually writes laws. The president obviously has great power when it comes to dealing with foreign nations. So it's a little bit of a gray area. I do think that as a matter of, let's just say, first impression, President Trump probably did step over the line a little bit. But that is not uncommon in the age that we live in. The executive branch has been stepping over the line and trampling on the legislative branch since Vietnam, right? And it grows in power with every administration. So was President Trump allowed to do what he did? I think so, probably. Is there a gray area where the legislative body can say, hey, look, this was within our purview. You were supposed to run it through us. Yes, that's why this is in front of the Supreme Court. But the bigger question here is, what do you do if they rule against Trump? Because you can't unring the bell, right? The tariffs are in motion. Money is being generated from them. You can't unwind what has already been done. And you can't set a standard to the world which says that, you know, if the president of the United States takes massive action, we can just destabilize markets just because somebody in Congress doesn't like what is taking place. So it's a very, very complex issue with regard to separation of powers. And it's also a further difficult by the fact that you can't unring this bell. There's no way to unwind what has already been done without massively hurting the American people. We're collecting on this. The tariffs are working out. You may, you know, want to look at how to re-look at laws and redraft laws going forward. But I think the American people get hurt here if President Trump's tariffs are overturned.
Yeah, it would be a massive loss for them. And most importantly, too, it's important to highlight that Biden also implemented a lot of tariffs as well. Just nobody wanted to cover it because they wanted to just, you know, turn a blind eye to a lot of things that were happening in the Biden regime. So no surprise there. I also want to get your take on this because this story broke late yesterday. President Trump is now asking the Supreme Court to get involved in regards to that $5 million civil judgment that was made against him in the E. Jean Carroll case. Now, for those of you at home, New York did, in fact, manipulate a lot of their laws to make sure and to clear the way for a lawsuit like this. And unfortunately, it did take place. Now he's asking the Supreme Court to step in on that defamation claim. He has said several times that he will not pay her out. Her attorneys, his attorneys have said it too. They will not pay her out. What is your take on the president asking for the SCOTUS, the Supreme Court, of course, step in there?
I think what he's doing is wise and it's great. Look, we all know that they turned that into a glorified Me Too show trial, that the rules were bent against President Trump, that witnesses were allowed to testify, burden of proofs were shifted. A lot of nefarious things happened during that case. They're not going to retry the facts of the case at the Supreme Court. But if the Supreme Court looks at the case and says, hey, this ruling happened wrongly because the rules were bent, because the Constitution was ignored, because burdens of proof were shifted, because procedure and law weren't followed, then they'll be able to toss it. And if they toss this judgment, then President Trump has grounds to go after the one after it, because the one after it heavily relies on this one. But it's important to realize that this is not going to be a retrial or a relitigation of those facts. They're going to be looking at, were the rules followed? If the rules were not followed, then this case should be tossed out. I feel strongly that President Trump will be vindicated by the Supreme Court in this case. I followed this trial closely, as did much of the people in our country, and the rules just were set aside. And I hope that they make the right decision here in this case.
Yeah, McBride, I hope they do too. And I hope that they step in on this one, because this is a big one. This could happen to anyone if they allow this to just kind of happen to President Trump. And I think that's a major issue that we need to take on. Justin McBride, thank you for all the incredible work that you do and helping us understand from a legal analyst perspective, of course. So thank you for being here today.
Thanks, Brianna, and happy Veterans Day to all the veterans out there.
Yes, absolutely. Happy Veterans Day, folks. Joseph McBride, give him a follow on X if you haven't done so already. McBride Law NYC. That's McBride Law NYC. Folks, we've got a lot going on. I don't know if you saw it yesterday. There was a big brawl outside of a Turning Point event outside of UC Berkeley. Take a look at the video. I know Savannah Hernandez was on the ground as well, but this was the helicopter shot that you see over it. And again, Turning Point is accusing Antifa of being there and being the ones to kind of cause this issue, cause this reckoning. Now, there was an individual who was wearing a Freedom shirt, which is obviously the Charlie Kirk shirt. He was taken into custody with a bloody nose. We don't know how that happened. Again, we don't know what side he's on, but it did get bloody yesterday. Two men apparently were arrested in all of this. There were a couple people detained. I don't have the final numbers as of right now, but Turning Point's event still went on anyway. And as it rightfully should. Now, this is a video comes from Savannah Hernandez over at Turning Point. As you could see, law enforcement is getting into a scruffle with these people, and they're just disrespectful. Watch as this officer just grabs whatever this is, a guy, girl, who knows, grabs them. Yep. Goodbye. You won't listen? That's how it should be. Folks, we've had enough of this. And I know that the president hosted a roundtable on the violence amongst these far left extremists. Again, this isn't a peaceful protest. This isn't a peaceful protest. This is a protest that is not peaceful. And this is a protest, of course, that is being operated by those who are domestic terrorists, according to President Trump, who has issued that executive order. So it's good to see law enforcement step in here. But again, you should be able to go to a Turning Point event without having these terrorists go after you. You should. And there's no excuse for that. None whatsoever. I want to keep highlighting the fact, just got breaking news. Looks like Ken Paxton's office just sent this one out. The Texas Attorney General, Ken Paxton, apparently is suing Harris County, the commissioner court, for unlawfully allocating more than $1.3 million in public funds to radical leftist organizations that will use that money to oppose lawful deportations of illegal aliens. Paxton saying we must stop the left-wing radicals who are robbing Texans to prevent illegals from being deported by the Trump administration. So that announcement coming out right now is in a recent 4-1 vote in Harris County Commission Court to allocate over $1.3 million taxpayer funds to help illegal aliens fight off their legal cases. So good on the state AG. You guys are so good. I guess my email came in a little bit later than expected, but that just recently dropped in. So that is an important one. We were excited to see that our Texas AG is fighting back. All right, let's talk about Zohran Mamdani. Zohran Mamdani is obviously a scumbag, obviously a very hateful person who hates this country, and he's a communist. But we have this great article right up on Infowars.com right now, and Raw Egg Nationalist will be joining us tomorrow to also discuss several other articles that he's working on. But this one's really important. See, Zohran Mamdani came out just a few days ago and said that my NYPD, he's the word my, as if he owns the police department. Yeah, he did. He did. He obviously will have control over the police department, but they are not his NYPD. The New York Socialist mayor elected Zohran Mamdani has said he's not bothered by facing backlash from the city's police department. Now, there's going to be tons of resignations, and he's saying that he plans on filling up those slots with social workers. Yeah, I'm sure those jobs are going to go like hotcakes. Imagine. They're going to have a social worker go to a door rather than an armed police officer. Folks, when there's a domestic dispute, if you're a member of law enforcement, you know damn well you do not want to go there unarmed. And sadly, we're about to see that social experiment with defund the police really get to work. Whether or not we save more lives of social workers or actual law enforcement officers, well, that experiment's about to happen in New York City, sadly. And so it's important that we keep your eyes there, of course, and we'll keep you bringing you the very latest on that front. All right, the DOJ charged two Cleveland, I'm going to say Indians, because I know that they changed the name Guardian because of all the woke nonsense, but Major League Baseball team, Cleveland Indians, because apparently two of their pitchers are accusing, Emmanuel Class and Luis Ortiz, have been charged with participating in a plot to manipulate bets on Major League Baseball games. Now, again, the government's accusing both of them, multiple counts of conspiracy to commit wire fraud, conspiracy to influence sporting events through bribery, conspiracy to launder money. But they're claiming that these two individuals were obviously pitchers or were rigging the game according to whatever they wanted to bet on. And again, this follows the very latest arrest to go down over at the NBA as well. So as you see on your screen, this is a criminal indictment. But, you know, they're saying that these individuals did just that. Now, it's important to know that they are claiming their innocence. Their attorney speaking out saying there is no credible evidence. Lewis knowingly did anything other than try to win games with every pitch in every inning. So we'll continue to follow this story. Again, these are the allegations that are being made right now by the Department of Justice. And we will continue to follow just that. All right, the Olympics. The Olympics is expected to ban for the 2028 Olympics transgender women, and I say women lightly, of course, competing in the Los Angeles Games. Currently, right now, there's a threshold for testosterone levels for transgender women's eligibility. I'll get it together eventually, folks. That's what they're claiming. So they actually might end up banning them. Why? Well, because they've just discovered that there actually might be an advantage to having a biological man competing in a female sport. No way. Don't you love science when it's actually utilized for something that's common sense? Yeah, that's what you want to say. A biological man beating up on a woman. Just give her some pink hair and we'll pretend like it's a woman. So that's interesting to see play out. All right, Libs on TikTok broke a story yesterday that I thought was really important. Actually, this was, I believe, Sunday. An individual named David is coming forward and saying that he submitted a job application to Coca-Cola, citing he had 20 years of experience in the industry. But his application was rejected the very next day. Now, as you could assume, sounds like David is white. So what apparently he did, according to Libs on TikTok, is he then sent in another application, just changing his name to Deshaun, and reduced his work experience to only 5 years. So from 20 years to 5 years. And then guess what? His application under the name Deshaun was accepted, and he was given the opportunity to do an interview. Now, Libs on TikTok said that they've reached out to Coca-Cola on this report. The accusations, they say, is untrue. As the fake application, of course, that's what they're claiming. They're claiming this was not true. But according to Libs on TikTok, they're reporting this was true. So if you change your name to Deshaun, they're alleging that you might actually get in if you want a job at Coca-Cola. Interesting report. One that's worth noting, of course. One that's worth noting, of course. All right, let's turn to another story. This one is very disturbing. We'll spare you of the details. But you might remember this person. This individual was celebrated by the rainbow community as the very first transgender U.S. lawmaker. Well, shocker alert, his name is Barry, by the way. We're not going to refer to him as his fake name. Just recently pleaded guilty to sex crimes against children. Now, this involved children and at a toddler's daycare center. Apparently, his, I guess then, girlfriend was working there and had sent back and forth images of child predator-like behavior, of course. He's now facing 30 years in prison. He was the former New Hampshire representative, Barry Lafton. And he's now looking at 30 years in prison. He was previously forced to resign twice from his position over three felony convictions for credit card fraud and conspiracy to commit fraud. No, I'm so surprised. He's a fraudster? No, that's a woman. Trust that guy. No surprise there. Folks, head on over to the alexjonesstore.com right now. As a thank you to those who have sacrificed so much for this great nation, we're doing a giveaway. Whenever you purchase a supplement, you'll get a free InfoWars hat. Plus, for a limited time, it's buy one, get one free on Methylene Blue. It's going on for just a few more hours. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now and make sure you grab yourself some. We'll be right back. Stuart Rhodes in studio.
I know y'all are tired of me talking about this, but let's talk about Methylene Blue.
Methylene Blue.
Methylene Blue.
Methylene Blue.
I have shared the Methylene Blue with my crew.
Buy it before it's banned, because I just found another use for it after the bloody wart. It removed my face. I fell down the other day and scraped up my leg, and I added some of the liquid stuff here, the Methylene Blue, stopped the bleeding. Alleviated the pain, and then I put a Band-Aid over it. Now it's healed up on, you know, faster. So they don't buy it before it's banned, y'all.
That's great. I love how everybody in the InfoWars audience just buys Methylene Blue and just starts doing science experiments.
Well, it's known that it has topical applications to it, right? And you talk about the wart, other people have talked about, you know, like maybe stomach issues here and there, other things. It has antimicrobial properties, but only really to gram-negative bacteria. So only really the bad things involved.
So there you go.
One more thing, y'all. I haven't slept 8 hours without urinating since I was like 20. This stuff is, you know, I can go, I don't have to
have to go every 5 minutes. I'm like a 20-year-old as far as my prostate goes.
Very interesting. Thank you for the call, Bart.
I'm really proud of the Alex Jones store. You know, when Bigley came in at first, I didn't really know what to think of it, but I saw the products they came out with, and they're willing to work with me, and I really got to have fun with them, and I got to bring some cool things to market, like methyl drive and power plant specifically, I'm very proud of. You know, it's been a blast to get to work with Bigley. They work with some of the best supplement manufacturers in the country, and what I've been able to do with them is I've really been able to come out with a lot of these new blends that really are effective for people and have efficacious doses without the blend, without the fillers, without kind of, you know, lower quality mixtures used to getting at certain places. It's been really incredible to work with Bigley.
Again, thank you so much. Check out thealexjonesstore.com today, and I thank you for keeping us on the air.
Thank you.